Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. Texans-Dolphins on Sunday. We'll dig into that. Got a lot of stuff to get to on the Hot Stove League. My name is it the Hot Stove League or just the Hot Stove season that we're in right now? Whatever the case may be. I'm Sean Pendergast. He's Seth Payne. Hi, Seth Payne. How are you?
Nobody's called it the Hot Stove League since roundabout. When did free agency get super weird? Was it 2019 or so?
When everybody was just sitting around looking at each other like, hey, yeah, is anybody going to sign me right now?
Yeah. Stove ain't all that hot. Happened, yeah. And it's Hot Stove, it's used ironically more so than anything else now. It's not a... Especially when you put it up next to NFL free agency where
it's
just fast and furious.
Black Friday, man. Like everybody's running down the aisle trying to overspend on everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, you know, Hot Stove League, it was said back when baseball was the only free agency in town. Then it probably felt like the Hot Stove League.
Yeah, a little
to
bit.
Where now it's like listening to your grandma's music on a Victrola and she's like, "This is banging."
It's
I don't know about that, Grandma.
I love that. That was a few years ago. It is. I'd say it's up to like, you know, like cassette level now or like CDs maybe. Like Juan Soto did get signed, you know, a few days.
Yeah, and that's
ago.
A big deal.
Yeah, it's
that's
a big deal.
But it's kind of like, okay, let's wait. Here we go. Hey, listen, we're in the social media world now.
Yeah.
You got 45 seconds to make your point on TikTok, okay? There's no Hot Stove here.
The Yankees didn't waste any time taking the $700 million they had allocated to Juan Soto that didn't get spent to go spend at least 200 of it yesterday.
Yeah.
Max Fried signs with the New York Yankees. Yet another Atlanta Brave saying, see you later. I'm taking the money. 8 years, $218 million for old Max Fried. Missed a lot last season with a forearm injury.
And he's one of those guys where you look at him and you say, well, look at his numbers. He's not on the leaderboard for a lot of this stuff because he's injured a lot. But when he's healthy, look at him. He's a crowd. Gerrit Cole, over the last 6 years, Gerrit Cole's the only guy that's got a lower ERA over the last 6 years than Fried.
Yeah.
But Fried's just been banged up, injured. He's getting older. And it feels like a more aggressive signing than just the sticker price.
Well, again, this is another signing that kind of screws the Astros a little bit. Same way we were talking about Soto yesterday. Soto gets 15 years, $765 million, and Kyle Tucker's not viewed on this equal as Soto. He's a little older, not quite as prolific a hitter, but he does do a lot of things better than Soto. But the dream of Astro fans that, like, hey, maybe the Astros will play in that 10-year, $300 million part. It ain't 300 over 10 anymore for Kyle Tucker. The boats are all rising, and the boat is rising for Kyle Tucker. And similarly, I mean, Framber Valdez is the same age as Max Fried, and he's been way more durable than Max Fried. And he's been, you go find all the categories for pitchers over the last, maybe not over the last 6 years like Fried, but over the last 2 or 3 years, Framber Valdez is at the top of a lot of those. And he's been, aside from a few little bad Framber outings dotting the game log here and there, he's by and large been one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last couple of years. 8 years, $218 million is $27 million a year.
He's got
this is the Framber market.
You know, Framber's still one of those guys. It's kind of like when a kid Like when a kid grows up and you still think of them as a kid and you don't realize, you know, you're still talking about your nephew who's 29 years old and doing quite well for himself, like the jackass kid that he was in high school.
Yeah.
That's how we are with Framber a little bit. There's still that part of us where I think we look at him like, yeah, but he's kind of erratic emotionally. Ah, but he's gotten all that under control.
Right.
And yeah, if he had been discovered younger and was like on the same trajectory he's on now with his career, but you reset the clock a few years, he'd be getting a mind-blowing contract.
Yeah, Framber didn't become a thing till the COVID year. You know, to where he became, you know, like a solid part of the rotation. Then he goes from solid part of the rotation to damn near an ace at times over the last few years. I mean, 2022, he had 25 straight quality starts.
Yeah.
Nobody's sniffing that anytime recently. So this is in the last 5 days, roughly. Whenever the Soto contract went down, the two guys that the Astros are really. I think the fan base is really struggling with what the team should do with these guys. You know, Tucker, they're reportedly getting phone calls on. Framber's in the same situation as Tucker. Framber's in the exact same situation as Tucker now. Final year of arbitration, probably going to make similar money. And now there are contracts out there that the big spenders are putting out there that are setting a bar that I don't think Jim Crane has any desire to play in. Like, Kyle Tucker's going to get a 10-year deal from somebody. That as long as his leg checks out, he's healthy, has a big year this year, you know, a usual Tucker year, he's going to get 10 years from somebody. 8 years, $218 million, man. And for a guy who's been less durable than Framber Valdez, like, that's the market now. And I think the Astros, Seth, they've got the seriousness of the conversations about what to do with Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez have to have amped up in the last couple days.
Just by way of comparison, so over the last 5 years, Gerrit Cole has a 3.12 ERA.
Yeah.
Framber Valdez has a 3.12 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
It's... And over the actual the wins, now I know pitcher wins don't matter, but just by way of maybe the way the perception of him is in the league, in the last 5 years, Framber Valdez has the most wins of any pitcher in the league.
You know what I think that speaks to more than anything is the durability part of it.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah,
he's around.
You got to be on a good team to get that. But
what
are teams looking for? All those teams that are looking to go from 85 wins to 88 or 89 wins. That's the guy that, okay, yeah, we're a good team. You know, this is why the Cubs are actually, you know, up in Chicago, they're talking about potentially being in the Kyle Tucker trade business. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, a year ago, they weren't in that category where a few extra wins makes that big of a difference to you. But, boom, all of a sudden, there you are, and okay, yeah. And likewise with Framber, because they've played on good teams and because they've produced in the playoffs, they have that extra shine to them when you're trying to get over the hump there. And I think, yes, a lot of teams will overpay for Framber Valdez.
Well,
I say overpay, but like more than you expect.
Well, team, if we're talking about contracts, like there'll be another team out there that gives 8 years, $27 million a year to Framber Valdez. That team is out there. It's just not the Astros. And I think you bring up a good point about teams that are kind of hovering on the fringe, and this could be a guy that pushes them over the top. The Astros are on the fringe. They're just on the good side of the fringe. If they weren't in the AL West, they would be the deluxe version of one of those teams you're talking about right now. You know what I mean? They would be a team that's sitting, you know, chewing their nails over getting a wild card, 88 wins last year. And so that's what's so scary right now, I think, for Astro fans, Seth, is the Bregman thing is already looking very shaky, I think. You know, depending on how optimistic you are. The Bregman thing is, at best, we're talking a coin flip to keep Alex Bregman. And now you've got these two contracts that are illustrating a market for your next two most important urgency guys, I'll call it. You know, guys you feel like you need to get done. The Soto contract. Again, Tucker ain't getting Soto money, but he ain't getting what we thought he was going to be getting a month ago. He's going to get more. And then this Max Fried contract, man, that's just a grenade right in the middle of the Astros offseason plans, in my opinion. You know, that's the market for a 31-year-old kind of banged up, but when he's healthy, really good left-hander. Guess what the Astros have? The same guy who's never banged up. You know, same age, same arm, you know. Throws with his left arm, you know, like all the whole thing.
Yeah, all these other, these comp, is there a single comp that's helped us this hot stove league season? I know the, like the Willie Adames contract doesn't help out the Alex Bregman scenario whatsoever.
No.
He's like, okay, Willie Adames is a little bit younger. He's about a year and a half younger than Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
And he plays a more important position, but Bregman's a better defensive player. He's a better offensive player. And he's about the same age as Willie Adames.
He's got way more postseason experience, too.
than Bregman Adames. Does. Yeah. So, and Willie Adames gets basically the Kyle Tucker, or the Alex Bregman offer, but with one extra year.
Correct.
So, all right. Is that where we are right now? Can you even look? Is Bregman, are Bregman and Boris looking at the Willie Adames contract with the Giants as like, okay, that's our low bar. We got to get at least that.
Yeah.
And would the Astros be willing to stretch to that?
Yeah, it's a scary time. Chandler Rome I was trying to look at the mic thing on it. It said foul territory on it. So I'm guessing he was on a show or a podcast where he was a guest. Astros are a big topic at these winter meetings. I mean, they, you know, Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman are massive topics at these winter meetings going on up in Dallas. Chandler Rome yesterday kind of made he did an interview, it looked like, where he dropped this. He thinks something big is coming down.
A bold prediction is that Kyle Tucker is playing elsewhere in 2025 and that the Astros stun the baseball world and pull off a trade that I don't think anyone would have envisioned maybe before a month ago. But this is something that they have been considering. I've reported that general manager Dana Brown is open to moving either Tucker or Framber Valdez. You know, Joe Espada, he would play with the roster he's given, but it would bring back the sort of prospect haul that could really help kind of revitalize this Astros farm system, and they need it. They don't have much coming. They don't have that next core of awaiting in the wings to help this championship contention. So my bold prediction is that Kyle Tucker is not an Astro in 2025.
If a Tucker trade goes down, the sequence of this thing is what fascinates me. So that's Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros. He's pretty plugged in. And he thinks that there's a Tucker trade coming. That's his bold prediction. That a trade nobody would have seen coming. Certainly something that's been, you know, a lot of chatter about since the offseason started. The sequence of this is what's fascinating. Because if you're Alex Bregman and the Astros trade Kyle Tucker for a bunch of prospects, but then they come to you and say, hey, we'll match the, you know, we'll pay you what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, they trade Tucker, but they up their offer to Bregman. What do you think Bregman does? You think Bregman comes back to a team that makes... That's a rebuilding move if you're trading Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, do you sign on for that?
That's
you
a step backwards that? Move.
That's right? A big step backwards. This is the problem, too. The one-year rentals, they don't get the Godfather deal that you're hoping for. I mean, it's almost just what – and now maybe they do. I was fumbling around on Reddit trying to find the best package for a one-year rental. This is my optimism, my hope right now. Bartolo Colon traded to the Expos. The
that's
Cleveland
research.
Received Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips, and Grady Sizemore. All right, give me that deal.
Okay,
give me that deal.
I recognize
maybe.
Those names.
Yeah, but he's a one-year rental, so it's more likely that if they trade Kyle Tucker, it's not because they get a Godfather deal. It's because they. Except the inevitable, which is that they're not going to try to retain.
Yeah.
They won't be able to retain Kyle Tucker next year in free agency.
I think the hope is that whoever you trade him to is open to giving him the big deal. You know, that it comes with the contract, and then that maybe that certainty of keeping him ups whatever the Astros can get. But, man, it is it's popping right now out at those winter meetings. We'll see what happens with Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, and the whole thing. But Chandler Rome predicting a deal. All right,
I like Reddit, by the way. They're going to make Reddit one of my more go-to, it's not even social media, I guess, one of my more go-to websites.
It's like an old message board system, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like they're the one lingering message board that does it really, really well.
Yeah.
Kudos to them.
Good job,
I don't know how they,
Good job.
It'd be like if there was a newspaper out there still just crushing it in their circulation.
There's got to be somewhere, right? There's still one Blockbuster left, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
Aziz Alshire, we've hashed this whole thing out about sliding and was it a dirty hit, blah, blah, blah.
Never heard of him.
Aaron Rodgers commented on this yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, and this more, to me, illustrated exactly what the Texans are going to be missing here over the next three games. We'll take a listen to that and a whole lot more. We'll do headlines a little later on this hour as well.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Texans back at practice today. Say it every week. Keep an eye on that injury report. We'll see. One guy that will not be on the injury report, but he will not be with the team for the next few weeks, is Azeez Al-Shaair. We've heard everybody's opinion on Azeez Al-Shaair. This is not to... I'm not playing this audio with an attempt to rehash sliding and does the league need to change the rules and is Azeez a dirty murderer and all these other things.
Did Azeez indeed bury 10 people alive?
Right.
This is... on the pure nuts and bolts side of things,
yes.
How do you move forward without Azeez for the next 3 weeks?
And I think Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee yesterday, because they talked about it on the McAfee show. I guess this was Rodgers' first chance to weigh in on what has been the most crucial hit in the history of the NFL, evidently, over the last week or so. Aaron Rodgers did illustrate something when I'm listening to him here where I go, oh, yeah, that's right. The Texans aren't going to have that over the next 3 weeks. Take a listen.
I don't think that Azeez is a dirty player. And you look at his his rap sheet of fines in the league. It's not like we're talking about some, it's not like, when late hit, fighting, face mask, roughing the passer, I don't think that's egregious of any nature. Now, he's a thumper, though. I mean, he can really hit. If you ever watch him on film, you're like, that dude... You know, awesome. If I'm watching film, and luckily he didn't play when we played the Texans, but if I was out, I would know where he's number zero, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I would know where zero's at, and I don't think I'd be worried about a late slide there. I would slide with plenty of time because he's a talented player.
Okay, it was really interesting to hear Aaron Rodgers say that last part there. Like, I got to know where zero is. And that kill zone, the kill zone got a little less killy with Azeez Al-Shaair out over the next few days.
Yeah, the whole, now, like Neville Hewitt, he can hit really well,
sure.
But it's just he's not as good of a two-way pass coverage and run player. And he's not, just not as capable of being as sideline to sideline as a guy like Azeez Al-Shaair or Christian Harris. So, and Christian, you get back a lot of athleticism, and we'll see how much he can actually play. But he's not quite, he's not a hitter the way that Azeez is. Azeez is up in the top 3 percentile of NFL hitters, I think, after watching him for a season.
It was really funny to watch that video of Aaron Rodgers talking to McAfee and AJ Hawk about Azeez, because when Aaron Rodgers, hey Ben, can you cue it back up again real quick here and just hit play on it? When Aaron Rodgers says Azeez isn't a dirty player, that's when, if you can visualize this, that's when the producers of McAfee fired up the list of all the fines that Azeez has gotten. And you listen to, and Aaron's reading off of the list. That's why he's citing all those.
Yeah.
But you can almost hear it in Aaron's voice, like, okay, he's not a dirty player, but boy, he sure... You can almost hear him thinking it, like, boy, he sure does get fined a lot. Just like, I want to listen one more time.
I don't think that Azeez is a dirty player. And you look at his, his rap sheet of fines in the league. It's not like we're talking about some, it's not
boom,
like
they fire it up.
Late
right
hit, fighting, face mask, roughing the passer.
I mean,
roughing the passer
borderline.
These days. No, but even when you rough the passer these days, it's rarely the passer, not the running QB.
I agree. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, after when he got to fighting,
the fighting part was like, oh, okay.
But the thing with Azeez is
I fight with my family all the
time. These are fights on the sideline. It's a whole different scenario. Usually doesn't involve
surrounded.
The quarterback whatsoever,
yes.
You know?
They tried
Caleb Williams wasn't in the middle of that melee.
They tried to Cobra Kai him on the sidelines. They surrounded him in skeleton outfits and started crane kicking him, yes.
So Rodgers mentioned that Azeez didn't play in the Jets game. The three games that Azeez missed were the Green Bay game, where I thought that Hansen and Hewitt did a really good job.
Hewitt was great. Pick.
I think more than I expected.
Yes.
And it wasn't the defensive effort that was a big issue in that game. So the Green Bay Packers, the Texans allowed 24 points. Colts, the Texans allowed 20 points. The Jets, the Texans allowed 21 points, but it's the freaking Jets.
Well, and it's the way they allowed the 21, right? I mean, they shut them out for the first half, and then they just marched through you
right
in the second half. Like, you literally didn't stop. The only time they got stopped in the second half was to take a knee to end the game. That was it.
But those are two games where conceivably you could say, all right, maybe Aziz would have made a big difference out there, especially the Jets in the second half. The Packers was a two-point margin. Very possible that, yeah, it's not crazy to think that Aziz would have made a big difference in those games. And that's where it's you're going to play the Chiefs in two games, and that's a team that wins by typically about 3 points.
Yes.
Because no matter who you are,
if that.
You're either the best team in the league or the worst, the Chiefs are going to beat you by 3 points. Yeah, Aziz could have made a huge difference in those games.
Someone on the text page, Aziz knows what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. We were joking about burying bodies, okay?
If we're going to paint Aziz as the worst person who ever lived, Aziz allowed Michael Strahan to sack him, breaking Mark Gastineau's record. That was what Aziz.
Oh, we'll get
Aziz
to that.
Is guilty of that too.
we'll get to that. Brett Favre. All right.
That's
so
how evil Aziz is.
Who needs to step up their kill zone game in this thing? How do you make up for the lack of kill zone the Aziz factor in this?
My biggest who's going to carry the mantle of
borderline dirty play?
Somebody,
yes,
yeah, in a borderline fashion.
Borderline,
going to get
yeah.
off on a negligent homicide.
Not dirty, borderline. Yeah,
I don't want to be a murderous defense. I want to be a negligent homicide defense. There
yeah, manslaughter.
I was reading some case the other day where somebody was like, I didn't realize a lesser charge than manslaughter was negligent homicide, at least in the state this person was. Okay. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't ask me. I know it varies state by state. But,
all right. Well,
anyway.
That said, who are negligently homicide?
My dream would be that Jalen Petrie comes back and plays.
Oh, yeah. And that we don't know, and that his music hits and he runs out right before the game starts.
Negligently homicide somebody.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And like, Jalen, the game hasn't even started yet. Like, oh, crap. Sorry.
Hey, lawyers, weigh in on the text line whether whether I read that wrong about negligent homicide or not.
Yes.
Henry Toa-Toa. The problem with Henry Toa-Toa is that
his own
he negligently homicides everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what jersey they're wearing.
If he can focus on just the opposite color.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We don't have any color rush games coming up, right?
Not that I know
We need it to.
I think the Ravens game is an alternate uniform game at least.
So can both teams wear dark colors if they're different enough on that? I worry that Henry just sees enough. I think he might be colorblind.
Yeah.
Which, kudos to you if it means you're not racist. But on the jersey color side of things, you got to stop being jersey colorblind.
Yes.
You can't be whacking a guy per week
of
these last several weeks from your own team.
No.
But Henry Toa-Toa, I think, has that capacity.
Oh, for
Jimmy
sure.
Ward,
yes.
We know.
Yeah.
And Jimmy suffers from that same malady
that Henry does, which
is he wants to hit anything that moves.
Yes.
They're like flamethrowers.
Hey.
Lots of damage, but not that. Yeah, it's hard to control exactly where it hits.
And Jimmy will do it in practice. He'll do it.
Yeah,
like Henry's doing it in games. Jimmy's like, hey, Dalton, you're coming over the middle. You're going to get some now.
I was going through it in my head, and I'm like, man, these guys actually, they got a lot of thumpers on this defense.
Yeah.
I'm not worried that, they're not going to be a hard-hitting defense without him. The biggest thing really over these next 3 weeks is the play of the safeties.
Yeah.
And that's where Jalen Petrie coming back, if Jimmy Ward can stay healthy, is kind of a big deal. I was going over this with Texans Cap yesterday because I had said during the show yesterday that, man, this defense on a down-by-down basis is one of the very best in the leagues, but they just let up too many big plays at times. And it's not like it's a scourge of big plays, but they're just in the worst possible moments of games. They're allowing big plays. So Texans Cap did the research. The Texans allow explosive plays depending on, I think his was like 20 plus yards.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 15 plus yards. They're a little bit above the league average in number of explosive plays allowed. But when we went into super explosive plays, that's where the Texans are like a league leader, 30-plus yards, and that matches the eyeball test.
Yes,
they've just had too many back-breaking errors where mental errors. Usually with super explosive plays, it's a mental error or just not playing your technique quite right in the defensive backfield.
That's, dude,
those are the things that have hurt them.
That's the defensive equivalent of what's going on the offensive line at times with this team, in my opinion, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you look at the offensive line, like, yeah, you know, Caserio even said it in his interview with John and Mark, and we're going to be playing some of that today on the show. D'Amico has said it. We're like, yeah, the offensive line's playing better. Like, play to play, they're playing better. And but the problem is the bad plays are really bad. You know, like the bad, like when they, and particularly when they were at their worst in that week 7, 8, 9 stretch where they were giving up pressure, literally every other drop back, they're giving up pressure. But you know, now it's gotten a little bit better. But that, to me, what you're describing on defense, Seth, is the equivalent of what's going on offense. Like, yeah, you can play great 90% of the plays, but when the 10% are so bad,
right?
You know, the 10% on offense are getting CJ murdered. The 10% on defense are giving up touchdowns to or chunk plays to bad offenses.
That's the, and kudos to Texans Cap. Great follow on X at Texans Cap.
Yep.
They have the sixth most, the Texans defense has allowed the sixth most 30 plus yard gains.
Yeah.
So they've allowed 21 on the season. New Orleans has the most in the league at 27. And I think that's just, it's one of the things that's keeping this Texans defense from being genuinely elite.
Agreed.
Is you just, if you dial back and if you get on the level of, like, say, you know, the Texans have allowed 21 of those super explosive plays, whereas Buffalo has allowed 9 total.
Yeah.
They've allowed the least in the league. Like, that's a big difference on a, you know, in those key games where those big chunks have
It sounds like you've got the list in front of you of the teams. Well, who, New Orleans, you said the Texans are 6, New Orleans is 1. Who are the other
so
teams?
So it goes New Orleans, Cleveland.
Yep, bad.
Giants.
Bad team.
Rams.
Average team.
Tampa.
Average team. Yeah.
NFC South.
Yep.
Texans in the AFC South. Then Dallas, bad defense.
Yep.
Houston.
Yep.
Then you go to Jacksonville.
Bad.
Horrendous defense.
Yeah.
You go to Las Vegas. You go to the Jets. You go to then Detroit, actually. Okay, so Detroit might be the best one. Detroit's got 18 and the Texans have 21. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Except the only problem is that Detroit also has an incredible offense on the other side
of
them. That's
they've given up 18 on defense. They've generated 75 of them on offense.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
it feels like the Detroit defense might just every now and then be like,
right.
Whatever.
Right. The difference.
We're up by 21.
We're up 52-6. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Man, a lot to get into today, man. This Belichick thing. Caserio, we'll play the audio a little later. Caserio's the first guy to come out. Former co-worker of Belichick's in New England and, like, entertain the idea of him being the North Carolina coach. You know
talks
what I
mean? Talks about the positives of Belichick. Well, all the other, the former players are kind of like, Belichick with college kids?
Every single one.
Hell no. What the hell are you talking
the
about?
The best of the recruiting memes that are going around on social media with pictures of Belichick with his girlfriend, his 24-year-old girlfriend. Like, who's worried about Belichick recruiting?
Yeah, that's true. He recruited. He can speak, he can. Now, she's like a philosophy major.
Yeah, I don't know that the philosophy thing's going to ring.
She might be a little deeper than your average 17-year-old high school
football
recruit.
Football player, yes.
Yeah, we're not gonna
we'll
connect well talking about Descartes, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We got headlines coming up next. Texans back at practice. Big contract dropped in MLB yesterday that affects the Astros. Big time. They've announced who the talent is going to be on the Netflix broadcasts for Christmas Day. So this affects some of you who won't be at the game. So we've got that and a whole lot more going on in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, headlines. Texans back at practice today. They are getting ready for the Dolphins on Sunday. I guess the big thing we'll be keeping an eye on is Christian Harris, Kenyon Green, both back at practice. What's their status?
Yeah.
And to your point in the previous segment, Seth, do we get some surprise good news on Jalen Petrie?
Right.
I'm holding out hope. Like, did we get that that we get that tweet from people who are out at practice and they show video of Jalen Petrie in his number 5 jersey out there.
This is where I, this is my little conspiracy theory, Sean.
Yeah.
This is what I hope for because I want to see Jalen Petrie out there. For those of you who haven't heard us talk about this, there is a very clear precedent this year of Frank Ragnow, the center for the Lions.
One guy.
Who has a...
of one guy, yeah.
Don't look at TJ Watt or JJ Watt's timelines when they came back from
Ragnow's
torn pecs.
Ragnow's the guy, yeah.
Look at Frank Ragnow, the center,
yep.
who missed 2 weeks with a partially torn pec and then has played the remainder of the season and played quite well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my dream and my hope. And the fact that the Texans have not put Jalen Petrie on injured reserve yet makes me feel like it's somewhere in the cards, at least as a possibility.
I agree with that sentiment wholeheartedly. If it was bad enough to require surgery or require a trip to the injured reserve list, they would have done that by now.
Yeah.
Plus, they may, I believe, I don't know, I think they may be getting close to being out of return designation, guys.
They've got 7. It gets Texans cap again. You can follow him on X at Texans cap.
Yeah.
He laid it out to where you're allowed to have a total of 8 in the regular season that are designated for return. I believe. I think the Texans have had 7 so far.
Yes.
But you get to carry those over into the playoffs too.
Ooh.
So you're like allowed a maximum certain number, but the ones you have left over from the regular season can carry over into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So there might be some kind of waiting and seeing with Jalen Petrie to manage it that
Could
way.
Be.
But it's just the fact that he's not on IR right now,
good
very
news.
Good sign.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is my other little conspiracy theory is that, when Mark Vandermeer and John Harris interview Caserio or D'Amico, you know, those two guys, they work for the team. So, just very open and transparent. They're not going to divulge everything all the time. They're working for the team.
Right.
As far as I could tell from the clips I listened to, they did not ask Nick Caserio at all about Jalen Petrie.
I
choose to believe that maybe the organization is really trying to play it close to the vest with Petrie. Yeah.
That is a conspiracy theory right there. That's
not
great.
Even a conspiracy. That's my hopeful little angle
like
there.
Chess
like,
game.
All right. Right. Like, if you don't know about the core, like, okay. Last year when C.J. Stroud was injured and people assumed that Davis Mills was going to be the starter.
Right.
And I'm like, we got through the week and I'm like, nobody has just come out and asked who the starter is going to be. What the hell?
This. Yes.
Yeah. And behind so they played it really close to the vest and they kept it a secret until like Saturday.
And they started Case Keenum, for those who don't remember. Yeah.
With Petrie. I hope that nobody does ask D'Amico about him today.
We're
going to play close to the vest,
okay, so we're hoping for no Petrie questions at
I
the
hope
press
for zero
conference.
Journalistic integrity out of the,
well,
out of the
here's
people
the thing.
At the press conference.
Here's there will have already been a practice.
Yeah.
Once D'Amico does his Wednesday media after practice, so there may, there may be some sort of news prior. Well, so we'll see. We'll see. The best would be if he's out there working out and practicing, Jalen Petrie. But Texans back at it today. We'll be digging into this game for the next few days here. Dolphins, this is a big stretch, man, for the Texans. A huge stretch. 95% chance to make the postseason right now, according to playoffstatus.com. 95. Does it feel like 95% to you right now that they're going to make the playoffs?
Are we past the point at which the Jaguars started to fall apart last year? And they were,
Jags,
at one point, they were like a 90-plus percent favorite to make the playoffs.
And after they beat the Texans in week 12, they were 8-3, the Texans were 6-5.
Okay.
And the Jags were in that 90-plus percent range. So we're past that now. We're 2 weeks past, 3 weeks past it now.
It feels, 95% feels right because just, no matter how pessimistic or nervous you might be about the Texans right now, it's really hard for me to believe that the Colts could win all their remaining games and that the Texans will lose all their remaining games.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
So, I feel that feels like the right number.
To baseball we go. Max Fried signs a deal with the Yankees. Max Fried, formerly the Atlanta Braves, always, kind of seemingly in the mix for the Cy Young Award. He's finished top 5 for the Cy Young a few times in his career. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball when healthy. Missed a ton of games last year, missed a few games this year. 8 years, $218 million for Max Fried to the New York Yankees. Seth, my opinion, this is a big grenade right in the middle of anything going on between the Astros and Framber Valdez right now. If I'm Framber, if I'm Framber, I go out there, I pitch 2025. Go put up some more Fromber-like numbers that he's done. He's been one of the most consistent pitchers in baseball. Go be consistent for another year, and somebody is going to pay you 8 years, $218 million.
The tough part about right now, as all the baseball people are kibitzing up at that hotel, is the fact that Dana Brown also, just like us, Dana Brown doesn't probably have a clear-cut plan or idea of exactly how all this is going to play out.
Yeah.
Because he's listening. And a lot of people are bombarding him with a lot of deals and a lot of suggestions and everything. And it really comes down to, all right, your power ranking of how important are Framber Valdez, Kyle Tucker, and Alex Bregman to this organization over the course of the next 6 years.
Yeah.
In my mind, Framber and Tucker, if retained, can bring a whole lot more to the table, most likely, at the ages that they're at, than Alex Bregman probably will. As much as I love Alex Bregman, I just feel like, man, if you want to be a top-tier team, those Tucker and Framber are the guys that are going to command more money than Alex Bregman for a reason. So
certainly more years.
Is it just a stupid pipe dream to dream that somehow that Framber and Kyle Tucker will both be on this team 2 years from now?
Yes, it is. Okay.
You're such a jerk. It's Christmas, Sean.
What
the hell?
It was whatever's going on in our studio here put me in a mood when I got here. There was a chair with a fan on it blowing out an open door, and the door was open to our studio, and there's a fan blowing out the door, and I'm like, man, what's going on in here, and why hasn't anybody told me why there's a fan on the chair?
Right, was there water damage? Was there a fire?
It turns out there was It turns out there was a power outage last night in the building. Our building took a power hit last night.
Yeah.
Probably due to all, there's rain and weather and cold weather and whatnot. You know, it gets cold in Houston, so everything just shuts down. So the building took a power hit, and then I guess while the night guys were in our studio last night, there was a burning smell, and our IT group went up in the ducts and looked in the they checked on it, and there's nothing burning, but there was a smell in here of burning. So that's ultimately Aaron Raybould, who's up here early in the morning, one of our engineers. He's up here. He said, no, it's not. There's nothing. That's what happened, But it put me in a. To your point, the reason I'm being such a jerk about Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez, maybe because walking into the studio with a strange burning smell and a fan on a chair with the door open, with nobody telling me why, put me in a bit. It put me a little bit sideways. So I apologize that I'm taking out my burning smell frustration on you by merely pointing out the truth. That neither that Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez might not be here in 2 years.
It's like you trying to gaslight me with the truth.
It's the truth.
Tell me lies. Feed me candy.
I'll
get in your van. The hell? This is just tell me they're both going to be here. Hey kid. Seth.
Hey
Seth. I got a plan for how to keep both Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez next 6 years. Get in this van. Okay. What else are we going to do?
That sounds delightful. Hey.
What kind of duct tape is that?
Let's get to the Christmas Day talent on Netflix. The Netflix sent out a graphic yesterday. Boy, they sure are throwing a lot of bodies at this Christmas Day doubleheader that they're having here.
Big mistake that a lot of new streaming platforms make when they go to broadcast football. They feel like, hey, we don't know what we're doing, so let's just throw a human wave at this project and see what happens.
Did you see the graphic I'm talking about? Where there's 22 faces on this thing.
It looks like a bingo card.
It does.
What the hell?
It looks like a jumbo version of Hollywood Squares. But there's not 9 squares. There's 25 of them.
The first thing that jumped out at me is that I'm like, okay, Kay Adams is like where most English-speaking people would jump to when you're looking at anything is like the top left, right?
Yeah,
that's where you're going to start reading.
Yeah.
Kay Adams is the first one on there. I'm guessing she's going to be kind of the conductor.
She's going to be the host of the studio show.
She's going to kind of tie everything all together. But then I noticed, there's a woman named Melanie Collins in the upper right.
Yeah.
There's Laura Rutledge in the lower left.
Yep.
So you have some attractive people up there in the in those three corners, attractive women. And then in the bottom lower right corner, Steve Wyche. I feel like I feel like Steve Wyche in the AI thing that put this all together, the AI must have felt like Steve Wyche was the fourth most attractive person out there. Yeah, okay. They've got it all anchored at the corners by these attractive people.
He's not a bad-looking guy. It's alphabetical, if you look at the... Oh. Just so you know. AI put it together alphabetically. I don't think...
Damn you and your genius brain.
Sorry. Okay, 2 minutes ago, I'm telling Seth that Kyle Tucker and Framber's gone, and now I got his AI dream of Steve Wyche being the George Clooney of this crew. Like, no, okay. His name starts with W, Seth.
As AI considers Jay Watt one of the, not the top four most attractive people, right. He's not in the corner, but he is down there near Steve Wyche.
Yes.
By sheer coincidence, also alphabetically.
Yes.
JJ Watt's on the broadcast.
Yes.
Or the stream or whatever we call it.
We'll dig into this later. I mean, he's on the actual, like, announced team for the non-Texans game, I think. I think he's on the other game. I think the other game is Steelers-Chiefs, mm-hmm. And I think he's in the broadcast booth for that one.
Nate Bargatze is on there, the comedian.
Yeah, Bert Kreischer is on here. Like
Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, they're getting cute here.
Kreischer did that golf thing last year, and it was a mess. But because of Bert Kreischer, it worked. Like it was none of it was like the mic wasn't working and everything else. But because Kreischer's whole brand is kind of being a mess, it was perfect. So I feel like. Whatever they do with Kreischer, people that don't know Kreischer are going to think it's a disaster, but it'll actually work for Kreischer.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll share some of the other names with you a
Greg
little later
Olson
on the
too.
Show.
That's Greg the Olson. Other big one that I think caught my eye.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones on here. We'll get to it a little later on in the show. Up next, we head into the 7 o'clock hour. So the Astros are getting heavy interest in moving Kyle Tucker. Other teams are looking at Kyle Tucker. How would you feel? Like, do you feel... Would you feel bitter if the Astros traded Tucker or Framber? Would you feel like, okay, we got two World Series, let's go? I'm curious. You can text in 713-572-4610. We'll talk about how we feel about it coming up next.